tonight to encourage one another, to lift up songs of praise to the great God of heaven. He is deserving and worthy of all our praises. So thankful for yet another opportunity to be able to share in the study of God's word. I was not here on this morning, but I know that Brother Gibbs did an outstanding job. You know, it's just some reputations that just proceed themselves. And we're just so thankful for all that he does for this congregation. Tonight, I want to continue to look at the book of Judges. I know you are tired of it by now, but this is the last seed that I'm going to give from Judges chapter 2. We've been talking about seeds for the next generation. Judges chapter 2, verse number 14, the Bible says, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord said. And as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." Verse number 16 says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. And they returned and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." I want to consider tonight living in the grace of God. If the next generation would consider living in the grace of God, then I know that the next generation would do well. When you notice this particular text, it is on the backdrop of Israel's apostasy. In spite of Israel's evil that they committed, in spite of Israel provoking the Lord as they did. In spite of Israel forsaking the Lord, in spite of the anger of the Lord that was hot against them, God gives them a demonstration of his grace. I know someone may say, well, I thought that the New Testament, that grace was a New Testament concept. For we know that John said, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I know the Bible teaches that, but in the New Testament, we're talking about God's system of justification. This is how grace is how man is justified in the sight of God. In Moses' time, it was the law, but now we are justified by grace and truth. But in Judges, I'm not talking about a system of grace. What I'm talking about is the character of God. God has always been a God of grace. It is a part of his infinite and eternal character. It is a communicable attribute that he shares with us. God has always been a God of grace. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, you remember God told Adam, don't eat of the tree of good, of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And yet they did eat, but they did not die. Why didn't they die? They deserve punishment. But God's grace withheld the immediate death penalty that they deserved. What he did was transpose it on those animals of skin and clothe them. That was an expression of the grace of God. The Lord proclaimed to Moses in Genesis 34, in verse number 6, says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now, when you read Genesis 34, you got to understand that it is in the context of Genesis 32. In Genesis 32, you remember that Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the people were worshiping an idol, a golden calf. And when Moses saw that, he dropped the tables of stone and broke them. And on that day, Moses made a declaration. He said, those of you who are on the Lord's side, come to me. And on that day, 23,000 men died as a result of their idolatry. And God says, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. But 23,000 have just died, but I'm still a God of grace and mercy and long-suffering and goodness. Well, if you look at Genesis 32, He wanted to take out the whole nation. And he said, I'll start with you, Moses, and raise up a nation. But God in his grace withheld what he wanted to do to Israel. David said in Psalms 103 and verse number 8, and I just want to show you that God has always been a God of grace. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Thank God that God is a nevertheless kind of God. When he saw the nation of Israel departing from him, God nevertheless, in Judges 2 and verse 16, nevertheless the Lord raised up judges. All that we did last week that was probably deserving of punishment, nevertheless, the nevertheless God intervened. All that we did in this week, and this is just the first day of it, the nevertheless God held back from us what we rightly deserve. With all that God knows about us, and with all that God sees in us, and with all that God reveals, is able to see, God says, nevertheless, he raised up judges for his people. What we see is God's plan of salvation for Israel. He raises up judges to deliver the people from their enemy. Verse 16. And these judges were to tell the people what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says in verse 17 of Judges 2, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges. The judges were there to deliver them, to aid them, to save them. But yet they would not listen to these judges. We realize that each judge was only there for a short amount or for a temporary time. The Bible says, when the Lord raised them up judges, in verse number 18, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. God heard their groanings and in his grace sent them a deliverer. They did not deserve to be. We've looked at all that they have done, and they heard the voice of God and they refused to listen to it. And God, still knowing his people were being vexed by their enemies, heard their cry and raised up judges. When the judge died, they returned to their ways. And the good thing about God is he didn't just give them one judge. God gave them 15 judges. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ishan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. 15 judges. And each time they listened, God listened to their cry and sent them a judge and delivered them. The word judge simply means a deliverer, a savior. If there's anything that we need to pass on to the next generation, is that they need a savior. They need a judge. But not just for Israel, not just for one group of people, but the judge that we need and that God gave us is for all mankind. God's savior to the world is Jesus Christ. John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. This generation, we need to know that God is still in the saving business. Yes. It's not a temporary judge this time that is only going to last until they die and God raises up another one. But the judge he sent is one that came down to earth, and yet he's still in the saving business. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That grace is the gift of God. John said that God gave his only begotten son. The gift that God gave is his son. And I would contend that God's son is God's grace. Paul said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And in his appearing, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace is not only a gift from God, but grace is a teacher from God that taught us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and taught us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace was born in a manger. Grace was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Grace at 12 years old walked into the temple and declared that I must be about my father's business. Grace is been revealed in a person. Grace went to the Cana of Galilee and stopped by a wedding and determined that they didn't have enough wine. So he took some water pots and filled them. Somewhere between them carrying those water pots and bearing out the water, that water became wine. That was grace. Grace touched blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears, healed leprosy, straightened crooked bodies, strengthened lame limbs, returned life to dead bodies. But grace was betrayed by his friend, abandoned by his followers, lied on in court and whipped and wounded, bruised and bloody, and with a crown of thorns upon his head, they mocked grace, nailed grace to a cross, hung on Golgotha's hill, and died a shameful death. Grace was laid in a borrowed tomb. But grace was raised early on Sunday morning. Grace, you couldn't hold grace down in the grave, and grace got up. See, we got to understand that grace is
God's unmerited favor. But you know, it's more than an unmerited favor. Grace is usually extended to those who deserve punishment. See, and in that grace, that God extends grace, it's an indictment on all of us that we deserve punishment. It's an indictment that says, you were under condemnation. But in God giving us grace, it's a declaration by God that says, you are worth saving. See, he knows we deserve the punishment. But his grace says, you are worth saving. So we thank God that we can see that he is a God of grace. And God extended grace to Israel, but in the same result, he also extended grace to those other nations. Because in Judges chapter 2, he kept those nations that he had condemned in order that they might be a thorn in the side of Israel. See, God extends grace to all. It's available to all. For the grace that of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God wants us to live in his grace. Some of us have gotten it confused, and we think because God has withheld what we are due that we can do what we want to do. But grace is not license to sin. Grace is a deterrent from sin. That's why Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ? Baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. Into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Just think if we every generation held on to the fact that we are living by grace. Just think if we dealt with people based upon grace. They deserve. But then we also got to understand I deserve. So I need to make sure that I live with my, interact with my brothers and sisters based upon grace. How we talk to one another ought to be out of a mouth and a tongue that is seasoned with grace. What if we worship with and based on grace? Seeing that God has held back what we deserve and has given us that which we don't deserve. When we come into
sing songs of praise. It ought to be out of the mindset that this is all about God's grace. How would our ministries look based upon grace? Stop believing that it's mine. I'm a steward by grace. If we could get in our minds that God has been so gracious to us, that we deserve nothing that we get. God is so gracious that he is willing to extend to us those things that we do not deserve. Thank you, God, for grace. If you're here, you're not a child of God. Paul says, "For by grace are you saved. It's not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God." God graciously desires to save us through faith. By having faith in Jesus, by acknowledging him as the Son of the living God, that he died for your sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. All of that is the grace of God. Coming, making that great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being buried in water, not to work out your salvation, but because God extended grace, he says, your response to me ought to be obedience. If you're here, you're a child of God, but you may have been frustrating the grace of God. You can get on good ground, praying ground tonight by making prayer requests and making your confession if you need to get things right. We just thank God for his amazing, amazing grace. If you're here, you need to respond. Do that now as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Oh, sin, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Yeah. Why not tonight?